Chapter 10, Part 2, The Sage Abides in Perfect Tranquility. Chapter 10 of the Tao Te Ching continues as follows. He abides in perfect tranquility while the doors go on opening and closing. Since his light penetrates everywhere, he can be as if ignorant. We have seen that the dialectical will is divided and cannot possibly be constantly focused on one purpose if that purpose is essentially foreign to dialectical nature. That is why the will of the striving person of this nature always displays a wide variety of aspects. At one moment, it will be aimed towards the new life, and at the next, it will be focused on banalities. At the next moment, it will be directed towards goodness, and the next towards evil. The will oscillates to and fro between these four aspects until the time comes when the candidate sets foot on the path in self-surrender, in Wu Wei, by not doing. A new soul state which belongs to and lives in a new electromagnetic field then develops, and also a new will, which because of its nature is capable of remaining focused on Tao without the need to force it in any way. In fact, such a will would be forcing itself if it were not to aim at Tao. As a result of this new state, one's vital energy becomes docile and one becomes free of moral shortcomings because the sevenfold inner vision has become clear and pure. The faculty of inner vision is related to the top or nucleus of the new soul state. It is sensorially one with the new life and is capable of seeing on that level. When it is there, the moral failings and conflicts inherent in dialectical nature become things of the past. Even though transfiguration has scarcely begun, and the person in this state still has available and must use his old material vehicle, he will nevertheless be able to rule the far from perfect kingdom with love and walk the path of renewal in Wu Wei, which means not I, centrally, guided by the new soul state. It would be good to clarify what we mean by this not I central state. The consciousness ordinary human beings know and possess is by nature egocentric. It has a focus and is therefore an ego in the absolute sense. It is not possible for such a human being to imagine another kind of consciousness transcending the human. Even so, another kind of consciousness really is possible. The consciousness of what we call the new human being is constituted quite differently. It is not I-central, it is fundamentally I-less, not in a moral or ethical sense, but absolutely, for it does not possess a focus. It could be described as being seated in the microcosm as a whole, a consciousness which is microcosmically all-embracing. This microcosmic consciousness develops further, expanding into a cosmically conscious state, and then into a macrocosmically conscious state. One can best describe this state as consciousness in the self, and simultaneously consciousness in all other things, in all other beings. Scientifically, then, it is clear that all separateness must eventually fall away. Wu Wei, or not doing, is intended to be a dialectical approximation of the new divine consciousness. This approximation is advised in order to reduce as much as possible the enormous difference between the two expressions of consciousness, and in this way to create a basis for the unfoldment of the new consciousness, powers potentially prisoned in the rose of the heart. So the I becomes desireless and does not wish to be attached to anything. The I tries to neutralize itself as much as possible so that the other one can gain the upper hand. Gladly entering into this process of approximation, we experience a stream of merciful Gnostic radiations that convey the whole ego into a state of absolute tranquility. In this way, we abide in perfect tranquility while the doors go on opening and closing. What does the ordinary human being know of tranquility? In waking life, there are a few isolated moments at most, and those usually come about by accident, or there is the tranquility of oblivion. After a tiring day before exhaustion descends upon you, you may sometimes enjoy a few hours of rest. But usually there are things in your life that spoil your tranquility, things like unfinished work, conflicts, anxiety, worry and fear, physical problems and moral deficiencies. Also, you become increasingly restless the nearer you come to the limits of dialectics. This restlessness then becomes a fundamental part of you, and because of your state of alienation, you can no longer find rest anywhere. The stress curve escalates daily. And in the end, as many pupils have often told us, the only time we experience rest is when we are with others in a temple of the spiritual school, and we hear about the kingdom of the Father. What is rest? Have you ever wondered about that? It is surely something more than just the nightly sleep of your body, or your time off after a day's work, or during the weekend, or your annual holiday, or the freedom from mental activities modern society seems to think so desirable. And surely you don't equate it with the so-called rest that will ensue when your life's journey is over. The rest meant by Lao Tzu is entirely an inner state, an essential signature of the new human being, the peace that typifies the people of God. This state is present by day and by night. It is a constant condition. Why are people restless? Because they belong to dialectical nature, which is governed by antitheses, by opposition. Physical rest does not take that restlessness away. That is why people are unable to be tranquil. True rest only comes when the new soul begins to take control in our lives. Then we enter a state of life which is not typified by strife, but by tranquility, and that tranquility does not come only after perfection has been reached. It comes as soon as the first definitive link has been made with the inner kingdom, after the first self-surrender. Just as the new will abides immovably in the gnosis, so the candidate who has gained participation in the Grail abides in an atmosphere of perfect tranquility. He is not perfect by any means, but he breathes in the gnosis while the doors go on, opening and closing. Such a person is taking leave of the nature of death and is on his way to the new life. He is a true emigrant. In that process, the doors of the past are closed one after the other, and the doors of renewal are gradually opened. How? Does one need to make a tremendous effort to do or not to do certain things? No, the sage abides in perfect tranquility, while the doors go on opening and closing with clock-like regularity. Have you ever seen a statue of a Lohan? Such a statue breathes tranquility. It is tranquility. Tranquility and this person are one. Tranquility in the world of dialectics is at best a vacuum in turmoil, and generally means only that the body is at rest. The tranquility of the advancing pupil is participation in the new life field. If his light penetrates everywhere, he can be as if ignorant. On the face of it, these words are scarcely to be understood, but if one looks more deeply, they are so unbelievably beautiful, glorious, divine, and magnificent that we are resolved to do our very best to help you understand them. These words have their funny side too, because they turn all the values of this nature upside down. The word ignorance sounds derogatory to most people. People have to know. Everything must be known and understood, otherwise things will go wrong. That is the motive underlying all education. Someone may ask a pupil, "Tell me, what is the school of the Rosy Cross?" The inquirer feels he is ignorant of what the school is. So the pupil brings him into contact with the school, and the attempt is made to alleviate his ignorance as much as possible. And thus it may happen that the once ignorant inquirer becomes a pupil and starts attending services and conferences. The school is constantly trying to supply inquirers and seekers with information about its task, and thus to relieve their ignorance somewhat, with varying results. Is the pupil stupid then? No, he has intelligence by the standards of this nature, and has had a reasonable education and so on, but the ignorance of the dialectical human being is fundamental. It can be lessened in many respects, but knowledge has its limits. That is why scientific research is constantly used to try and extend the limits of knowledge. There are many areas in which these efforts succeed too, albeit slowly and imperfectly, since the knowledge gained in this way is often lost later on. But there is a mystery underlying the work of our school, because even though appearances may seem to indicate the opposite, for we have no option but to approach you with information, to establish contact with you, it is not at all our aim to increase your knowledge. Remember the words of Ecclesiastes, "He who increases knowledge increases sorrow." Now you will be saying, "I see what you mean. I will be able to gain knowledge in quite another way if I follow the path." But that is only partly true. Let us understand one another. If we do not, mistakes may arise. We have told you about the 7 cerebral cavities, the mirrors of the new soul consciousness, of the inner vision which is clear and pure. These mirrors function automatically in the ordinary human being, and caricaturally in the trained occultist who succeeds in bringing a degree of life, albeit utterly defective, to the cerebral cavity connected with the pineal gland. The normal person is dependent on the senses of ordinary nature and on the quality of the grey matter and the convolutions of the brain. His senses, the 5 known ones, plus 2 more, which are not yet fully active, are for him the 7 mirrors with the aid of which he acquires knowledge and tries to retain it. Of all the knowledge gained in this way, it can be said, "He who increases knowledge increases sorrow," or "The sum of all knowledge is that we know nothing." But could you say of a real sage that he has increased sorrow and knows nothing? Of course not, because his wisdom enables him to share in a great, glorious, and imperishable value. Scientific knowledge is external knowledge. It does not give access to the inner core of things. With this kind of knowledge, we certainly do try to grasp the essence of things, but we never quite succeed. Such knowledge is imperfect. It is not capable of being absolute, and that is why it causes suffering. Hypotheses must constantly be changed, and time again, it is necessary to start all over again from the beginning. But such knowledge will never make us wise. To be wise means to know and understand totally, right to the deepest depths. The sage described by Lao Tzu is able to use the 7 mirrors, the 7 heads and eyes of the new soul state, as these 7 mirrors can be focused on any chosen object so that in that same second one we'll know and experience it completely. So there are 7 totally new and different senses and faculties, the intelligence organs of the new true human being, the intelligence organs of the people of God. Now perhaps we can understand these words. If his light penetrates everywhere, he can be as if ignorant. They refer to the displacement of the intelligence organs of ordinary nature and the development of the new intelligence organs. Initially, the school of the Rosy Cross appeals to your old intelligence organs because it has to work for you and with you up to a certain point. You have no option but to approach the school with your ordinary intelligence faculties. But if you follow the transfiguristic path of self-surrender, you will need to become ignorant with respect to that knowledge, and you will develop a new cognitive faculty, the cognitive faculty of wisdom. Then the 7 new candles will be lit. You will walk amid the 7 golden candlesticks, holding the 7 stars of the new intelligence organs in your right hand. Then you will be able to write your letter of living wisdom to the community of Ephesia, to those who dwell on the border, and you will say to them, "Zero seekers of the one knowledge, toiling that you may understand, come to the one life." Then your light will penetrate everywhere, and, as regards everything else, you can be as if ignorant.